Good morning. My name's Mike Ovenden. I was born in 1955 in Harlow. My parents bought the business at 9 High Street, known as Collins and Son, and moved to Malden when I was 5. I remember quite distinctly seeing the shop for the first time and thinking what a funny place it was. And we moved into the flat above the business, which was the whole business is very old. The building is even older. It's got some very old oak beams in it. And I do remember trying to hammer in a steel nail once. The oak was so hard, it was just like steel, and it bent the nail.
Michael, how old were you when you moved to Malden?
5.
You were just 5?
Yeah.
So you do remember right from the beginning?
I do just remember that sort of thing. And I do remember, as I said, seeing it for the first time and thinking what a funny little place it was.
Had your parents been in the retail business before?
Yes, my father was in the retail business ever since. I think he left the services, and he was at a business in Harlow. He was employed in Harlow. Then he decided to buy the business in Malden, and that's where he stayed forever.
That was quite an adventurous move, really, wasn't it?
It must
From
have
Harlow
been.
To Malden.
It must have been quite adventurous, and it must have taken quite a few. Quite a bit gutsy feeling to actually do that.
Exactly. So did both your parents work in the shop?
My father worked in the shop, obviously, all the time. But my mother, she was halfway between housewife and looking after the shop as well. So she didn't work in the shop all the time, but just a little bit.
And did they, do you remember, did they employ staff?
Yes, they employed staff. About three or four people to just as serving and that sort of thing.
So as a child, you could run up and down stairs between home and the shop?
Yes, there was what was effectively a fire escape from the flat to the courtyard, and over time someone decided to make that the main entrance, and the staircase, which actually ran from the shop to the flat, was subsequently finished with, and it was blocked up. But I do remember seeing it, and I do remember walking up there. And there was a cellar as well, which was really, really interesting, because the shop, before my father's time, it was higher. The floor was higher than it is now. And there were 3 steps to come up to the floor, which is evidenced by the floor that you can see now, that's about 15 feet inside. And that was the original height. And the steps were taken out to the back garden. They now disappeared. But on the cellar, that obviously made it much, much shallower. And I remember crawling underneath the cellar. It was probably about 2'5" high, I guess. And being a kid, and my brother was 5 years younger than me, but being a kid, it was a wonderful den, and no one in the whole world knew it was there except my brother and I. So we had a little secret place to hide.
Oh my goodness!
The other thing, which is quite interesting, and I only realised it many years later, is that if you take the level of the High Street, which is at the front of the business, take the level of Gate Street, which is at the rear of the business, they're going to be a similar height. If you look at the levels of the ground to the left and to the right of the property, that is also of the same height, but the garden itself is about 18 inches higher, and I can never ever work out why. As far as I know, nobody knows, except when the cellar was dug, someone had to find somewhere to put the spoil, and I guess the nearest place was the back garden, so there it remained. In the back of the property going on to Gate Street, there was stables, and as far as I know, the floor of the stables are still there. I do remember there were rings on the wall, which clearly were for tying the horses to, but my brother and I decided the horses had nothing to do with it, but they were in fact to tie prisoners up to in the dungeon.
It sounds a wonderful place for little boys.
It was fantastic. It was really great.
Talking of the garden, Michael, it's now the Fig Tree Cafe. And there is that wonderful tree, huge fig tree. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do indeed, yes. Yes, I remember sliding and slipping on the figs as they fell in the in the late autumn. The trouble was that the summer's nearly got, we didn't really get hot enough to ripen the fruit, and they dropped before they were ready to eat. But the leaves were really, really lovely, and the fruit wasn't very, very good to eat, but they were edible. I know that because I've eaten it and spent many hours on the toilet afterwards. One of the other things about the garden is that I was digging a hole for no practical reason, really. And I came across a bone, and I wondered what the bone was. So I started to excavate this bone, which was probably found at a depth of 18 inches, I guess, something like this. And I took a bone out. I have no idea what it was. So I took it to the local vet, whose name I can't recall, and showed him. And he said it was more than likely it was going to be a bone from a horse. And we then concluded that one of the horses from the stable was maybe on death's door, but not quite dead. And it needed to be buried when it was dead, so we assumed it was walked to the hole that had been previously dug, shot, and fell into the grave, and then covered over. But when I found this bone when I was 6 or 7, it clearly wasn't a horse's bone. It was a pirate's bone, because don't forget I was only 6 or 7.
Going back to the shop itself, which is probably very boring in comparison to all the other stories. Going back to the shop, when you were a little older, were you allowed to work in the shop and help your parents?
Yes, I was working in the shop for about 10 years or so. And I took on all the duties that would be expected of me. Really, I did everything until Deb wanted to retire, sell up and retire. and I didn't want to take on the business. It was going to be too onerous. And so I retrained and did something else instead.
So presumably you worked in the school holidays, and when you were at school, did you come back after school and work in the shop? Or was that perhaps just at weekends?
Just at weekends.
Saturday?
Yeah, just at weekends and Saturday. I worked. I don't recall working at summer holidays, actually. I don't... I may have done, but it was short-staffed, but...
People talk about the wonderful herbs and spices that Collins used to sell. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I do remember, must be about 60 and maybe 70 different types. And we used to sell absolutely colossal amounts of the herbs and spices. And the biggest seller we sold, not surprisingly, was black pepper. And I remember we actually bought a ton of black peppercorns at one point, and I thought there's going to be the world supply, it's going to last for about 100 years, but in fact it only lasted about a month, and then we had to get another ton. That seems absolutely incredible, but believe you me, it's true.
Is there a reason for that?
Yes, I think because we bought it in vast quantities, it was A, cheaper for us to sell to the public, and B, because it was so fresh, although it was dried, the taste of the pepper was really aromatically beautiful. And although of course all black pepper is dried, it does in fact lose a great deal of its pungency and its smell.
And I suppose your parents had lots of jars arranged in the shop.
Yes, we had about 60 or 70 jars. They were the old sweet jars.
Yes.
That were about, 15 inches high or so, something like this, that we found in every sweet shop up and down the land, which were ideal for putting herbs and spices in.
And how are they sold? Did you have to weigh them out, or was it per spoonful?
It was all sold by weight, and we used to put them into paper bags and just give it a bit of a twist, and that was that. I don't think plastic bags had really been invented at that point. I do remember the blue paper bags that were quite a thin material, flimsy material, but they were quite tall, but quite small in volume. But I remember those, and people saying that they remember those indeed from their childhood.
Did you have a favourite area of the shop or a favourite product to sell?
I can't recall there was a favourite thing at all, really, to be quite honest.
People talk about the... one lady has spoken about the bacon slicer and how wonderful it was that you could choose the thickness of your bacon. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that that clearly. I remember we were using it as well.
Mm.
And it didn't really hold any fascination for me because it was just just an everyday thing. I couldn't see why anybody should be in awe of it.
I suppose when you've grown up with it, it's just an ordinary thing, isn't it? Something
yes, that's right, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so your father retired eventually, having run this very successful shop. Did he sell the shop on to someone else?
No, he didn't. No, it was, when it was sold, it was it, was split into two, which I understand is how it started its life anyway. And half of it was a cafe, and the other half, I can't recall. I think it was I can't recall what the other half was. Yes,
two.
Yeah, it was divided into two, which it still is.
Mm.
And I'd like to go. In actual fact, one day I would like to go back into the cellar, because I do remember that was quite interesting.
Mm.
And one of the things about the cellar that I recall, I should have mentioned this earlier actually, there was a well in the cellar.
Really?
And it was lined with bricks, and it was lined with Tudor bricks. Allegedly, but it was historian told this week it was Tudor bricks. So I could only assume that it was actually made in Tudor times, because I can't imagine anybody wanting to line it with old bricks that would be too hard. So that must, to my mind anyway, that must surely date the property.
Absolutely, yes. So in this cellar where you and your brother crawled around and had great fun, it wasn't used then as a storage area?
Yes, it was used as storage. It got a little bit damp, but it wasn't wet as such, mm. I suppose because of the well.
Mm.
And I always fancied pumping out the well to have a look at what was at the bottom of it, but we never got round to it. But yes, it was used for storage, but yeah, Nothing perishable.
Fair enough. So you and your family lived above the shop. Was that a good thing for two little boys?
Oh yes, it was fantastic. Yes, it was very good indeed. And I remember there was one time when my mother, she locked herself out of the flat, and there was no way of getting into the flat because no one could locate a spare key. And so my brother and I thought about this long and hard. And one of the outbuildings led to the attic of the shop. And we concluded that if we could get into the attic, we could crawl along the loft until it came to the hatch that we knew was in the flat. We could lift the hatch and drop down inside the flat and then gain access to the rear of the door and unlock it. So we did that, and it was really, really fascinating because the beams of the attic were in a herringbone fashion, which I'd never actually seen before. And I thought it must have been so hard to construct that. And we saw some other things as well. We saw a World War II ration book, which we took back, and we saw some old magazines, and one or two other things. We saw some dead rats, which were long decayed, and we explored quite a lot. It seemed like a couple of hours actually, while my mother was still waiting to get into the flat. But we had far more important business to do, where we were looking around in the attic. But it was fascinating. It was the only time I'd ever been up there, and I thought it was great.
And finally, you were able to lift the hatch and get through.
Yes, finally, when we got bored, we were we were doing, we actually dropped down into the flat. I let my mother in, and she was very grateful, a little bit cross, having been left out there while we were doing our explorations.
So from the front windows of the flat, you presumably had a good view down the high street.
Yes, I could actually see the river from the bedroom and the living room windows. We could see obviously right down to the high street, past the junction into what is now Pound Stretcher. And when we were kids, it was really good to watch the fire engines rushing down the high street, when I still remember them ringing the bells for the fire engine. And it was very, very good indeed for the carnival when that was on. Of course, we probably had one of the best views in Malden. It was lovely.
That sounds really good.
It was indeed.
Thank you, Michael.
I also remember Beely Races. The last time I was at Beely Races must be something like 50 years ago. And I think just after that it stopped. I've no idea when it started. But the farmers, the Ratcliffes, who I think owned most of the land, they every Easter they got together and made a racetrack. It was actually, I can't recall if it was flat or if it was jumps. I can't remember. I think it was flat. Anyway, I can't remember. And I do remember thousands upon thousands of people went there, and it was one of the really sort of big days, certainly in Malden, and I think probably in Essex. And people went there with picnics and all sorts, and there's lots of betting going on, as you would expect, and fortunes were probably made and lost. I remember I had a little bet, and I'd have won £3, and that was a nice day.
Did this happened on Easter Monday?
Easter Monday. Yeah, Easter Monday, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Yes, Easter Monday.
And do you know if it went on for many years?
I don't know when it started. I think it ended when sort of in the 70s. Mm. But I think it went on for quite a few years.
Thousands of people went
there. Oh, yes, really definitely popular. Thousands of people went there. And yes, it was a spectacle and a half. And there was, as I say, fortunes made and lost.